So have you ever gotten so excited because something for which you have been waiting is about to come true? No matter what you're going through at the time, you really don't care because the fulfillment of what you've been waiting for is so imminent. Well, that's the same dynamic here at work in the church's celebration of Gaudete Sunday. Christmas is so close you can virtually feel it, right? Now, it doesn't translate as well to the pop culture of the United States because, you know, even Catholics in the United States totally jump the gun and skip the whole season of Advent sometimes and begin celebrating Christmas right after Thanksgiving. But the church all around the world rejoicing this Gaudete Sunday because the coming of the Lord is getting closer and closer and closer. Our anticipation grows with each coming day. Now, the Latin word gaudete means to rejoice. And so as a sign of our rejoicing, that's when we light the festive rose-colored candle, and the priest wears rose-colored, and the deacon here wears his rose-colored vestments. I saw a cartoon that depicted two altar servers. One of them said, "I like Father's pink chasuble." And the other server said, "It's rose, not pink." "And how do you know that?" asked the first server. "It's because Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't pink from it." Wah, 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 wah. Anyway, we rejoice today because we are just 8 days. In just 8 days, we'll celebrate the birth of the Savior of the world. In preparing for that, I'd like to take us back to that first reading that we heard. And to help us capture a sense of expectant waiting for the Messiah. Imagine here if St. John Church were a Jewish synagogue back in ancient Israel, and we were all Jews. The oppressive Roman Empire was ruling over our holy land. And to make it worse, we had to pay taxes to some Emperor Caesar in some far-flung distant land. And were locally ruled by a merciless governor who could care less about our customs and our religious practices. Our Old Testament scriptures told of the forthcoming Messiah who would free us from such oppression. And we gather each weekend to read about this Messiah. That's what we were doing when along comes this man who is about 30 years old. He gets up to the front of the synagogue, unrolls the scroll, and reads the very scripture that you just heard in that first reading from the prophet Isaiah. The passage is about the Messiah, the anointed one. And the prophet Isaiah expresses it in the first person as if the Messiah himself were speaking those words. So you hear this man proclaim these words that you've heard before. In the synagogue, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, to announce a day of vindication by our God." You sense quite a presence as this man continues on until the end of the passage. And once he finishes the prophecy that the Jews have been, you know, waiting for centuries to be fulfilled, this young man rolls up the scroll, gives it back to the attendant, goes to take a seat in silence. And he looks around at everybody in the synagogue. And he finally opens his lips. And as we read in Luke, Jesus said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All right? Jesus boldly applies the scripture to himself, in effect claiming that he is the fulfillment for which all the prophets have longed and yearned. Jesus is the one who brings glad tidings to the poor, which is all of us. Right? We may not be materially poor, but our spirits are impoverished and need God's own divine spirit to animate our lives.
in order to love generously in the way we ought. Jesus is the one who heals the brokenhearted. That second claim of the Messiah that we heard. So many people are so defensive these days and easily disturbed or offended that people feel like they need a safe space. And on the flip side, there are people who are so disrespectful and offensive who have little regard for others but themselves. In either case, the source of their anger or their angst is often the same, right? They have been wounded and their hearts have been broken. They lack the interior peace to be secure in themselves, to be at peace with themselves. Jesus is the one who comes to heal the brokenhearted, to heal the broken hearts of both the offended and the offenders. Jesus is the one who has come to proclaim liberty to the captives, the third claim of the Messiah. He wants to set us free. He's not just talking about the people in the prisons up the street on Cooper and Parnell Road. He's talking about the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. We could be free as a bird walking around in our country, but feel captive and imprisoned, right? Whether it's by addiction or feeling the misery of our sins, not being able to do what we know we ought, right? The freedom from all the evils that a broken humanity falls into. The unhealthy behaviors that we can't seem to break out on our own power. No matter how much we try or how much willpower we can muster. Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Right? Jesus has come to bring us an interior freedom which capacitates us to live at that higher pitch of being, higher pitch of existence that God desired for us, that brings goodness and beauty into the world and empowers us to live our lives in accord with the truth. Because we live in a society where most people have ignored or rejected God's invitation to humanity to live in the truth, instead of striving to live our lives in accord with that truth, we've instead tried to normalize our abominations of the truth of God's commandments. And our society hasn't stopped there, but many of the powerful in our society now try to force everyone to accept those very abominations through the law. But thank God for Christmas, when we celebrate God's response in the face of all these evils. Until the consummation of time, God stays his hand of judgment in order to give humanity every opportunity for conversion and repentance. And he not only gives us another shot at redemption, but he himself comes in our lowly form. He joins us in our poverty, symbolized there at the stable of Bethlehem, and brings the richness of his divine life in Jesus Christ, which he extends to every person on the face of the earth through the sacramental life of the church, right? We get Jesus here. And through the Holy Spirit, he gives us the power to do what we cannot do for ourselves. So brothers and sisters, do you recognize why Jesus established his church and the great mission with which he has entrusted to her? Our mission as Jesus' church is to offer every human being on the face of the earth God's very own divine life. His divine life that brings glad tidings to the impoverished spirit, that heals the brokenhearted, and that frees that captive soul. In just 8 days, we'll be hosting folks who may not realize that Jesus can have that saving effect in their lives. So beautiful. Andy had mentioned the Eucharistic mission, and it was just beautiful to see Father Declan giving a personal blessing with the Eucharist in the monstrance to every person as they were kneeling right across this sanctuary. And it was beautiful to see how it brought such healing to people's hearts. And just by people visibly, I could see it affected people because of their tears, but also many people coming up to me and expressing, I never knew Jesus could touch and heal like that. So a beautiful Testament that Jesus has that saving effect in our lives. So folks may not that come every, you know, the Christers, Christmas and Easter, right? They might not know that they come to Christmas Mass just to be here for the cultural experience, or because that's what our family does. We don't really understand what's going on in Mass. It's just what we do, right? And so they may be oblivious to the fact of what God desires to do in Jesus and through his church to heal and unite a broken world by healing and uniting the heart of every individual to himself. That's why he comes as a child, so that we might not hesitate to approach him. And so as God's people, as God's family, I encourage all of us regular parishioners who claim St. John as our spiritual home to have a welcome spirit to the many non-regulars who will come through our doors on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Coming in from what can often be a cold and cruel world, may they encounter in us not more of the same of what they're encountering out there, not the Grinch glare that says, "What are you doing in my seat?" Right? Not the judgmental scowl of, "Hey, can't you keep your child quiet?" But instead, encounter in us the warmth of the Christ child. May they encounter in us the Jesus who is willing to enter into our poverty and recognize the dignity of the sons and daughters of God. And we can impart that through a sincere smile, through a genuine welcome of Merry Christmas, we're glad you're here, through a true recognition at the sign of peace, instead of like the academic "peace be with you," but a true recognition in our hearts at the sign of peace that this person before me is someone for whom Christ gave his life. Through, and may he encounter the warmth by maybe even scooting down to make room, even if it may mean one of those dreaded behind the column seats, right? We can see throughout all the other 51 Sundays of the year, or 52 Sundays of the year, but this one time maybe allow somebody else who doesn't come into our house to have a good view. But if you're not a big, you know, packed Mass sort of person, perhaps consider going to the beautiful midnight Mass, or the 8 a.m. or the 12 noon Mass on Christmas Day, or the 9:30 at St. Joseph Oratory. Whichever Christmas Mass you attend, let's remember that we as regular parishioners are the hosts and they are our guests. So let us strive to have that Benedictine mentality. St. Benedict's monks, you know, they would welcome visitors as though they were Jesus Christ, the one who will hopefully say to us at the end of time, "I was a stranger, and you welcomed me."